Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. It is said that Louis XV, the King of France, so feared death that he decreed that the very word death should never be spoken in his presence. Every effort was made that he not see the evidences of death or any monument that would remind him of it. Well, whether this story is true or not, I really do not know. This seems to be a very extreme attitude, however. But nearly all of us have some kind of escape mechanism that prevents us from letting ourselves accept the fact that we all shall die. We usually think of death as an event somewhere in the long and distant future. It is something that happens in other families, some other cities, some other states, some other people, people that we do not know. We act this way even though the evidences of death are all around us. But it seems unnatural when we apply death to ourselves, and more natural to apply it to some other. But death is inevitable for every person. Now we consider this more seriously when death strikes someone close to us. Death reduces all men to the same rank, whether they be rich or poor, king or peasant, sinner or saint, young or old, health or sick. Even though death is usually considered to be ugly and cruel, it does have within its power the solution to many problems and the relief of many burdens. Because of the existence of death, mankind is better able to properly evaluate the purpose and the function and the meaning of life. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, "It is appointed unto man once to die." Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2 teaches that there is a time to die. So let us make no mistake on this theme. One day every living person will breathe his or her last. Now this may be considered a morbid thought, but realistically it is simply facing the inescapable. Why do people fear death as we do? Why are not we able to have the calmness and serenity of spirit like the child when he prays, "Now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." But how many actually have such peace when they consider dying? To most of us, even the study of the subject is disturbing, and therefore many never do study it. We can explain some of this fear because there's just simply so much that is unknown about death. People seldom long to enter into any realm from which there is no return and which is unexplored, and this explanation has some merit. There was a time when people could rightly fear death, but with the coming of Jesus Christ, the battle against death and Satan was fought, and it was won by Jesus Christ. Death in the grave was wrested from Satan. Job asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" Job 14:14, and Christ answered the question with a definite yes. This life is not all there is to a person's existence, dear friend. Man shall exist in eternity, and he can live with God in eternity. What a victory over death! In one sense, Jesus made death a thing of beauty and something to be desired. In Psalm 116 and verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Jesus made death a passageway from an existence where dwells sin and sorrow and pain and anguish, where there is disease and humiliation. He made it into one where there will be no more tears and dying and crying in despair, no more goodbyes. You see, death is not just an end of life. It is the beginning of an eternal life. It is not just the closing of a door, but the opening of an eternal door into a better place. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In light of this, we should develop the same view and attitude toward death as did the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1 and verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul endured much suffering in his physical body. He was just worn out when his time came to leave this life, having been made tired in the service of God. He had often been heartbroken, laboring long for righteousness. To continue to live meant further service for Christ, all right, and he was willing to do this if the Lord thought that best. But also he was willing to die, because he considered gaining peace and rest and a life with Christ and a reception of his reward. It is not uncommon for some people, as they lie on sick beds, be it with age or disease, and maybe lonely after years of service, to simply say, I want to go home. Which they simply mean they're ready to die. They want to go to their heavenly home. This world is not the home of the saint of God. It is only a temporary dwelling place. It is heaven that holds fascination for us, because we set our hearts and our minds and our love and our affections on the things above, rather than on the things of this world. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. And as the verse in a favorite hymn reads, Earth holds no treasures, but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Many people fear death because they know they are unprepared to die. It is said of Robert E. Lee that he always left his office when he was president of Washington and Lee University as if he would never return. And sure enough, one day he did not return. But he left everything in a continual state of readiness to meet God as far as his earthly affairs were concerned. Paul lived in a state of readiness to meet God spiritually. He had fought a good fight. He had finished his course. He had kept the faith. He knew that when the time came for his departure, that he would receive the crown of righteousness that God would give him. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. And then again, some fear death because they cannot afford to stand before God with their lives cluttered with sin and standing as monuments of disobedience and rebellion and disrespect toward God. And some, even hearing these words, may be in just such a state. None of us can ponder such words and turn away indifferently. Christ is the author of salvation to those that obey him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And if you have not obeyed his terms of forgiveness, you are certainly not ready to stand before his judgment throne. You have a reason to fear death. Death holds no hope for you, but only the assurance of a just recompense of your defiance of your Creator and your Judge. But whether you're ready to die or not, death is coming. Unless you're prepared to die, you cannot say, as did David, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. My rod and thy staff, they comfort me. For you, there is nothing of comfort to be found anywhere in God's word. You cannot say, as David concluded that great psalm, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. People have a right to fear death when they're impenitent. They have allowed Satan to encircle their hearts with pride so strong that they're unwilling to admit they need to be saved. People should fear death when their hearts are hardened, and their eyes are closed, and their ears are stopped to the truth. People can fear death because of the sinful lives they live, a life colored with immorality and profanity and drunkenness. A life of evil habits and envy and jealousy and greed and lying, with the sins of the tongue and worldliness, All these things that contaminate the soul, that's a life that is wasted. The iniquity of this world is the personal iniquity of many. They have followed the works of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19, rather than bearing the fruit of the Spirit. They cannot inherit the kingdom of God in that spiritual condition. Does it amaze you that even some who profess to be Christians have a right to fear death? Because they have not kept first things first. They've not retained their allegiance and loyalty to Christ. They are not living consistently with Christian teaching. And they are more concerned for their pleasure and power and popularity and prestige and worldly gain. They are not prepared to meet God. The hypocrite, the apostate, he has no more promise of salvation in heaven than the alien who's never come to Christ. But those who profess to wear the name of Christ, but do so flippantly and lightly, without self-denial, lacking faithful living, they make themselves fit subjects for the terrible warning of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after knowing it, to turn from the holy commandment given unto them. When one just plays at Christianity, death is a fearful thought. Such people are disinherited from the promise and the eternal inheritance awaiting the faithful. The only ones who can face death with confidence and without fear are the faithful, working, serving, loyal children of God who are in Christ. The life of a Christian is the most beautiful life one can live, but also is the death of the Christian a beautiful death. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, Revelation 14 and verse 13. Now this does not mean that a Christian faces death without any concern. He still faces many unknowns like everyone else. But what he fears, because he does not know, he knows that his Father knows. The Christian does not die without hope as do others, 1 Thessalonians 4. He looks to God as his shield and protector. He has God's assurances that all will be well with his soul. He knows when he must enter the chilling waters of death that the Lord Jesus shall meet him there. He does not have to cross Jordan alone. The Savior will take his hand and lead him home. He will know, as Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1, the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. There is no reason for any of us not to have this hope and this assurance. God, through Christ his Son, has provided this hope to all who will come to him. God's Son was sent, and God's love was given, that we might enjoy eternal peace, and when death faces us, we will not fear. We're saved by his blood. And his blood is applied to our sin-stained souls when we obey the commands of the gospel, to believe in Christ and repent of our sins, confess our faith in Christ, and are baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, being raised to walk a new life in Christ, born again, new creatures in Christ. And those who are successful in living the faithful Christian life, the day of death will come, just as it comes to one and all, but it will not be a day that he will dread. The day of wrath comes to the lost. The day of salvation in heaven comes to those who are faithful in Christ. And glory and praise be to God for such a salvation. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.